Thanks for joining me in another episode of The Diaries of June, my dear listener. I hope you're excited for another entry from Nana June's amazing turn-of-the-century life. Before we dive in, I wanted to thank you for sending your feedback about the podcast. One listener wrote in that the last episode reminded her of when she did a semester abroad in Prague. All the fantastic memories came flooding back and cheered me up in the middle of a terrible week, she wrote. I'm so happy to hear that it resonated with you. You know, I started out this podcast not even sure what it would be, and it means so much to me that Nana June's stories are helping you. They're helping me, too, in a way I didn't know I needed. She feels almost like a big sister to me now, you know? She's not just some branch on the family tree, a great-grandmother I've never met. She's someone who giggles over cute pilots, travels the world, faces hardships, finds strength. Now she's someone I look up to, someone I know and love. Whoops, sorry, I'm getting off track. You're here to hear from Nana June, not Sappy Autumn. So for this episode, our theme is progress. And I think it's a timely one, listener, even though it happened over 100 years ago. Nana June is 22 in this entry and decides to attend her first rally for women's voting rights in London. Oh, can you imagine being part of that movement? It's amazing how far we've come, thanks to the women before us. And their allies, too. We owe them so much. Ugh, what they went through. Well, you'll hear in the powerful entry. Oh, but before I start reading, let me tell you what I found bookmarking these pages. It's a pamphlet advertising jiu-jitsu lessons. Sounds random, right? Why did Nana June have a pamphlet for jiu-jitsu lessons saved in her diary? And in this entry in particular? On the back of the pamphlet, she'd written a single word. Intriguing. I agree, Nana June. What's this all about? Let's find out, listener. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the entry. February 8th, 1912. Dear Diary, what an exhilarating day today. My hands are trembling from the experience. I hope this entry will be legible later. The day started like any other. A cup of Earl Grey with the morning newspaper, sat by my window overlooking the street markets. Even with the window closed against February's chill, I could still hear the sounds of life from below. Maybe it was those lively sounds that put me in an adventurous mood. I had the day off, so I turned to the advertisements section of the paper to see what was happening around the city. The usual sales and auctions greeted me. There was mention of an ice skating rink, newly opened. The idea was cheery, but my two left feet didn't feel confident in the art of skating. I had no interest, nor the disposable funds, in dress shopping, sales or no sales, and was about to close the paper when a small advertisement in the corner caught my eye. Suffrage rally, it read in capital letters. And in smaller print below, organized by the Society for Women's Voting Rights. This peaceful demonstration aims to educate our society and equalize women's voices. Join us. A few more lines went on to describe the where, when, and what, and puzzling listed jiu-jitsu among the day's activities. Later, I'd come to find out why. A suffrage rally, diary? Of course, I'd heard of the suffragettes. Their work started before I was born, and frequently made the papers as they proposed various measures for women's voting rights. I'm rather ashamed to admit that I never paid much attention to the rallies when I was in New York. I believe in the cause, of course, But, well, I was a preoccupied teenager. I suppose at 22, I'm barely more than a teenager now. But it feels like a dozen years have passed since I've been back in London. I'm a true adult now, and it's time I take responsibility for the changes I want to see in the world. That was the thought that got me halfway out of my chair before I'd even realized I'd decided to go to the rally. An adventure I'd wanted, and an adventure it would be. I finished the last of my tea, donned my winter layers, and made my way to the square where the rally was set to begin. Despite the rally's early start, the crowds were already gathering in number. As I approached the square, I could see a sea of hatted heads and protest signs rising from it. "Equal say," shouted one sign. "Our country too," exclaimed another. A magnificent banner proclaiming "Votes for Women" stretched across a makeshift podium in the center of the square. I felt a thrill of excitement, Diary, at seeing so many people gathered for the cause. And not just women, people. Husbands, brothers, fathers too, all joining in solidarity. It was breathtaking to behold, and I was so glad I decided to come. Along a fence at the far side of the square was a row of police officers. Some looking bored, some looking angry, but all looking intently at the crowd. One of the officers, whose pinched face seemed older than his peers, gripped the hilt of his bully stick as a protester passed close to him. I'd heard that such protests could sometimes turn violent. The papers were always keen to report on that. But I had to wonder how many perfectly peaceful protests went unreported. Certainly, the scene today was far from violent. But still, the sight of so many officers was unnerving. I made a mental note to keep my distance. I moved through the crowd, taking in the signs and chants. A group of young women toward the center had organized into a skipping rope circle. As they swapped in and out of the double dutch, they chanted voting slogans in rhyme. It was so catchy, I think I can recall it here now. Three little women in white silk gloves cast their votes with country love. My life, my home, my worth, my rights. Equal say is in our sight. A young girl, no more than 10 years old, stood by the circle watching the women skip rope. She saw me looking at her and smiled shyly. "Is this your first rally?" I asked. She nodded. "Mine too," I told her. She looked at me in curiosity for a moment, as if to say, "Only your first?" And I felt a twinge of shame. When I was 10 years old, I hadn't the slightest idea about women's rights. Perhaps Mother would have taken me to a rally if... Well, never mind that ancient history. Before I could ask my new young friend how she had come to be at the rally, she slipped into the double dutch and picked up the chant. She noticed me looking and waved for me to jump in. I have to say, Diary, it's been about 100 years since I've skipped rope. But I jumped in anyway. I made it about 15 skips before ducking out again, breathless and laughing. My new friend beamed and waved, still skipping away. In another corner of the square were vendor stalls. I suppose a protest is as good a scene as any to try and make a shilling. Although, I would have questioned whether it was in good taste. As I got closer, though, I realized that they were information stalls. And there it was again, as advertised, jiu-jitsu, according to a sign above one of the booths. I couldn't have told you what jiu-jitsu was all about, but it sounded fascinating. So I approached the booth. But before I could catch the eye of the woman behind it, I heard shouting back behind me. I turn to see my young friend running across the square, seemingly very upset. Behind her, a group of men stood laughing. Before I realized what I was doing, I stormed over to them. One of the men looked me up and down and gave a low whistle. "What's a pretty gal like you doing here with all these hooligans?" he sneered. "What did you do to her? The girl skipping rope?" I demanded. He scoffed and turned to his friends, dismissing me. But I wasn't about to have it. I grabbed him by the shoulder and spun him to face me. "What's the big idea, lady? You keep your hands to yourself, or I'll set you straight," he snarled. "This is exactly why women shouldn't vote. You're hysterical." Maybe it was the day, diary. I don't know what came over me, but before I could stop myself, before I even knew it was happening, I unleashed a fury upon that man. I never even knew I had such anger in me. I told him exactly what I thought about his opinion and told him exactly in which unsightly place he could shove it. I shouted at him to look around. "The world is changing, and you need to wake up and change with it." I left him slack-jawed in the middle of the square and turned on my heel to find a crowd applauding my outburst, my skipping rope friend among them. She gave me a smile that almost broke my heart as I thought about the world she'd grow up in and the fight she'd only just started to fight. I felt a gentle hand on my arm as I stood, still seething. I looked up to see the face of the woman from the jiu-jitsu booth. "That was very brave," she said, "but dangerous. Women have been killed at these protests, you know." "Killed?" I asked her, hardly able to comprehend it. "Yes," she said solemnly. "That's why I offer self-defense classes." She went on to tell me what the newspapers hadn't. The violence happening at these protests were not the work of the protesting women, but of anti-protesters and police. Women were being dragged by their hair, spit upon, and in the worst cases, beaten. I listened horrified as the booth keeper told me of one woman who had recently died from police-inflicted injuries at a protest. "So, you see," she concluded, "it's important that we learn to protect ourselves. There are beginner classes every Thursday night. Take a pamphlet with you, and don't pick any fights until then." I took one, my head still reeling from her stories. I'd known the cause was important, but only in a lofty, intellectual way. Separated from the women on the ground doing the work. And it made me so mad, Diary. How could I have sat comfortably by while women were being beaten by police for voicing their opinions? The rest of the protest passed in a blur after that moment, and before I knew it, the square was emptying. Signs were folded, booths dismantled, carts carried away. The police had left too, evidently convinced there would be no need for beatings today. Ugh, Diary, I know how foolish this must sound. June goes to her first rally and pats herself on the back for a job well done. But today changed something in me. Seeing so many people turn out for the occasion, some even as young as my skipping friend. Hearing about what women have been going through in this 50-year fight. And that horrible man with his entitlement and disregard. I'm inspired. I'm incensed. I'm a whirlwind of emotion. But one thing I'm not is standing idly by. Not anymore. One thing I will not do is silence my voice. What did I tell you? Powerful, right? Nana June is such a boss. And I love how honest she is with herself. It was her first rally. Her first time really paying attention to the issue. And she not only owned that, she used it as fuel. There's a dozen more entries from the 10s and early 20s about her involvement in the suffrage movement, all stemming from this single day. She really put her money where her mouth was, didn't she? I know it's a far cry from rallying for women's rights, but I had a little feminist moment of my own recently, and I think I have Nana June to thank for it. If I hadn't read this entry, I think I would have just said nothing, like I always do. Remember last episode how I mentioned that I had to come back to San Francisco for work? Well, it put me back in daily contact with a coworker that I do not get along with. He's a jerk to everyone, but especially to me. He treats me more like his personal secretary than a peer. Like, I'll be in the middle of a client call, and he'll suddenly send me out to get him and his work buddies a complicated Starbucks order. I'm not an intern. I'm a practicing lawyer, for goodness sake. And he interrupts me all the time. That kind of coworker, you know? Maybe you've had one too. And it's just little things compared to life in 1912, but all his jerkiness was starting to add up. And kind of exploded the other day. He just dismissed me from an important meeting to send me on yet another errand. Because, I'm pretty sure, I disagreed with him, and he didn't want me to have a say in the rest of the decisions. And I was about to just suck it up and go to Starbucks, like I always do. But then I remembered this diary entry. I'd read it for the first time just the day before. I thought of Nana June. I thought about all the women who had spent their lives fighting for equal treatment, who had faced violence and ridicule for a say at the table. And they won. They won the right for women to vote. And 100 years later, well, like I said, I know my situation is not the same thing, but it's the spirit of it, you know? The spirit of sending women away while the men make all the decisions. Ugh, maybe that sounds melodramatic, but it's what I felt in the moment. The only woman at the conference table not being asked for her input, but being asked to fetch coffee for the guys. So I stood up to him. I channeled Nana June, and I told him I am not his personal secretary, and if he wants a ridiculous Starbucks order, he can go get it himself. And wouldn't you know, he tried to interrupt me, and I shut that down too. "I'm still speaking," I said, and then gave him extra heck for interrupting me. I'm pretty sure I was shaking like a leaf, but I tried not to let it show. And then he apologized, in a kind of half-angry way that I'm sure he didn't mean. But still, at least I stood up for myself, finally. I feel pretty proud, and I wouldn't be telling you this if it weren't for Nana June's diary, for her amazing life. I'll share more of that amazing life with you next episode, my June crew. Thanks again for joining me on Nana June's journey.
This This has been June's Journey, The Lost Diaries, from Wooga. You can step into June Parker's shoes and become the detective herself in June's Journey, the number one hidden object game in the world. Live the glamorous 1930s life as you journey around the world, finding hidden objects, adventure, and even a little romance. Download June's Journey for free on the Apple App Store or Google Play Store. Thanks for listening.